Hey everyone, welcome to the next episode of the Life Isn't Linear podcast. Life isn't linear and neither is the journey, but the goal is to keep making progress. This is Josh. So this episode is a little unconventional for me. I am of the belief that life will produce my material. And if you haven't, I would highly encourage you to read Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, A Way of Being. In the book, he talks about the source for inspiration and creativity. The source will always provide. And in this episode, that is exactly what happened. As you know, I'm a huge Tesla fan, but I am not so blind to realize that they can't be the only EV maker out there. Others will try, some will succeed, some will partially succeed, but most will fail. But who will that be? And I am of the firm belief that automakers need to go all in on EVs. And this is why I have so much respect for Rivian. They are all in on EVs. And they are tailoring to the rugged outdoor adventurer. And to be honest, they make a well-made, very compelling vehicle. But will they make it? My brother challenged me on this episode because he has repeatedly stated that he feels Rivian could be the next Tesla. And that's a bold claim. So bold that it got me thinking. And as I've spent more time recently on investments, I thought I would try something new. I decided to sell some put options on Rivian. I figure I would get paid while I research. So I want to share with you my findings, and then you can decide if you want to take the leap on Rivian or not. And I will embed all of my links that I used. But please note, this episode is not financial advice. It is not investment advice. It's not even close. It is me simply giving you my opinion of a company as of this publication. And what you decide to do with this information and your money is your decision as a responsible listener, not mine. Now, on to the episode and on to Rivian. Rivian is an electric vehicle manufacturer headquartered out of Irvine, California, with a production plant in Normal, Illinois. And they make the following vehicles: the truck, which is the R1T, the SUV, which is the R1S, and coming soon, the mid-SUV, the R2. They also make delivery vans for Amazon and just did a contract with AT&T. There's no hybrids. There's no gas. They are all in on EV, which I have a tremendous amount of respect for. Part of my territory for my job is down in Central Illinois. And by being down in Central Illinois, I've driven past the Rivian plant many times. I've watched it expand over the years, and I've heard stories from locals about how they'll succeed and how they won't, and you see Rivians everywhere. And I will say, the trucks and SUVs are very cool and very luxurious. And I'm fortunate enough to live in an area where they are very prominent. They have the most beautiful paint colors. And also, they appear to be very well built. And I would encourage you to go to YouTube and watch Sandy Monroe's teardowns of the R1T. It's pretty incredible. Now, they are early in their production, but they seem to be making very quality vehicles. And if you have Apple TV Plus, please watch the documentary, The Long Way Up. It stars Ewan McGregor and a friend of his as they ride two electric Harleys from the tip of South America to Los Angeles. The kicker is they are followed by two of Rivian's very first R1Ts, and the trucks blew my mind with their durability and their look. And the specs on the trucks are quite impressive. And I'm not going to go into too much detail because you can do that yourself. But they have extremely good range and they have a lot of options on the trucks to choose from. And the SUV, the R1S, is very similar. Great look, space, and range. And these are important to EV buyers as range anxiety, although real, is an absolute waste of worry. Now, the possible game changer for Rivian is the mid-SUV that's coming out actually next week from recording this episode, the R2. Now, there are not a ton of specs on this, but from what I have read, it will be comparable and a challenger to Tesla's Model Y. But the thing is, it will be in a price range that is much more affordable. One of the most difficult things for Rivian right now is that the cost of their trucks and SUVs are too expensive for most EV buyers. And where they really kind of shine from a company perspective is the delivery vans. And I've seen a few of these that Amazon uses. They've got about 175 miles of range and are very futuristic. And this could be a niche for Rivian, as I don't see others, including Tesla, making this specific type of vehicle. Supplying EV delivery vans to the world's largest marketplace is a smart move. And it also helps that Amazon is the largest stakeholder in the company. And I feel they have a very large addressable market, and it's a very niche product. And Amazon, being their chief customer and stakeholder, does help as well. And AT&T recently signed a very large contract with Rivian to produce fans. This could be a very big driver for them, a large potential catalyst. And if they could follow suit with a government contract for the Postal Service, you could see UPS and FedEx following along. As I sit and think about Rivian and their vehicles, they make very compelling vehicles, and they're getting into a very niche market with the delivery vans. This does increase my conviction, as nobody else, including Tesla, is really doing this. So as I sit and review the trucks, the SUVs, the mid-SUVs, which are the R2 and R3, they do have a very compelling lineup, but it's the vans, the delivery vans, that could really hit a very niche market that makes me really want to keep my eyes on Rivian over the next few years. Next point, charging. One of the most important areas to review. This is the catch and convenience of electric vehicles, to be fully charged when you leave every day. And a lot of people lose sight of this because a lot of people in society still have the gas station mentality. Again, if you left home with a full tank of gas every single day, you would never worry about range anxiety. And Rivian provides their wall charger, which is, from them, their fastest and most convenient way to charge at home. And it states it's a level 2 at 25 miles per hour. And this is something which is a must for every EV owner. Like a Tesla wall charger, you can set your charging schedule so you can charge when the energy is its lowest. The wall charger can be installed indoors or outdoors and has Wi-Fi connectivity for software updates. And per their website, it's about $800 and it pumps out about 11.5 kilowatts an hour and it's 24 feet long. But this is not something new, and I would expect this from all EV makers. So this concept of charging at home really didn't blow my mind. Now, Rivian does provide you also with a mobile connector so that they can be charged on the go, and it's designed to plug into a 240 volt and can charge up to 16 miles per hour, or you can use the 120, which is like a few miles per hour. It's weatherproof, maintenance free, and it's very portable, and you just stow it in your trunk when you're coming and going, and it's about $400. This is standard. This is nothing new. Tesla does this as well. However, Rivian does give it to you, where if with Tesla, you do have to pay. Now, this is the kicker for people, public charging, because when you're out and about, you want to be able to charge your vehicle if you should need it. And Rivian's vehicles feature the CCS standard plug, which allows you to plug into about any public charging network, as well as some of the Rivian chargers. Now, Rivian states these are strategically located in very popular destinations, but this is the rub. This is where Rivian is truly lacking. They are very much relying on third-party charging stations to charge their vehicles. And this can make road trips very challenging and slow. In reality, Rivian only has about 57 fast charging stations and only account for about 340 total Rivian charging stations. They are heavily reliant, again, on third parties. Now, as of 2024, Tesla's network will allow Rivian charging, but you've got to pay $12.99 per month, and you're going to pay a higher price per kilowatt. Now, this lack of fast charging for road trips makes it a challenge, makes me very weary of ever wanting to own a Rivian, because this will hurt Rivian, their owners, and their brand. And this is the kind of strategy that does give fuel to range anxiety. Now, Rivian does have a solution, and they call this the Adventure Network. And this is Rivian's proprietary DC fast level 3 charging. And it's built for Rivian owners, making it easy for them to pull in and plug without even touching a button. They are claiming to install over 3,500 of these chargers at approximately 600 sites along popular routes and highways in the United States. This will allow you to charge up fast and get back on the road, adding about 140 miles in 20 minutes. But this strategy could change. As of March 3rd, Tesla announced that they will be opening up more of their chargers to all electric vehicles. And I guess that Rivian would put this on hold or slow this down due to the amount of cash burning that I will talk later in this episode. If they do, then the value of Rivian as a company does diminish if they do not implement this kind of network. And at the same time, a company like Tesla, their value increases massively as they continually install superchargers and allow other vehicles to use them. I came across a map on the Rivian website that is a vision, but not the reality of the charging stations. Because here is the reality. It cost Tesla anywhere between $60,000 and $350,000 to build a supercharging station, and I've embedded a link that describes that. That said, it could cost Rivian over $1 billion or more to build their own proprietary network. Now, as I'll state later in the episode, they are burning too much cash right now to make that happen or to make that a focus. So this feels years away, maybe even further. And it will be slow unless they have the R&D to do this. You absolutely need level 3 supercharging to sell it to people. Level 2 just won't cut it. Now, the idea around this adventure network is pretty cool. It's supposed to be powered by 100% renewable energy. It will be exclusive for Rivian owners, and it will be over 600 sites in the US and Canada, offering up to 140 miles of range in just 20 minutes. It's automatic. All you have to do is pull in and plug in, and the in-vehicle navigation will get you to and from each charging station, so you won't have to plan it. And the initial output of this will be over 200 kilowatts, with 300 kilowatts in the future. That's some pretty fast charging. But for now, and I put a huge emphasis on but, if you're driving a Rivian, you're really stuck with their level 2 chargers or third-party public chargers, which if anyone will watch and pay attention, they're a nightmare. And that's the beauty of the Tesla supercharging network. They're everywhere, over 55,000 now strong in the United States alone. And you plug in, you get a full, fast, quick charge, and you move on. Rivian owners can't say the same. And if people were to do their research, this is the kind of stuff that will lead to range anxiety. It will make people nervous. It will make people hesitant about transitioning to an electric vehicle. On to the batteries. And this is one area I've been very, critical is the right word, but very thoughtful in my approach to Rivian, is because they use a lot of battery cells. And when I mean a lot, they use 70% more than a comparable Tesla. And these lithium iron phosphate batteries are going to be great for their entry-level vehicles, but especially for their delivery vans. So this should help make Rivians even more affordable thanks to the lower manufacturing costs and cheaper materials of lithium iron phosphate. However, they are relying on third-party providers to supply these battery cells, particularly Samsung out of South Korea. And it is unclear which company will make their LFP batteries, that's the lithium iron phosphate, to power their vehicles. This is an enormous cost that they should internalize as opposed to subcontracting out. Now, here's where it gets a little more negative. In December of 23, Rivian laid off 20 employees working on the research and development arm of their long-range battery cell department. And a Rivian spokesperson confirmed these layoffs, saying it affected only about 8% of the company's long-range team, which included Victor Prajapati. Now, the spokesperson declined to comment on Prajapati's department, but said that the move reflects a decision to pause new cell development that's being done in-house. Again, that's being vertically integrated. Apparently, Rivian wants to focus its resources on the R2 program and battery cell development using the resources it has. Now, I don't run an electric automotive company, but the battery is the most expensive part of the car. And if you really truly want to control your cost on the most expensive parts of the car, you want to be vertically integrated and put your R&D towards bettering your battery technology. Now, for Rivian's flagship vehicles, the R1T and the R1S, they're using 2170 type cylindrical cells. Each battery pack has about 7,776 cells, which are supplied by Samsung. The cells are combined in 9 double stack modules. Now, the installation of 2 layers of cells appears to be this way because of the necessity to store such a high amount of energy. Each battery pack can store between 100 and 200 kilowatt hours. And what is very cool is that when you see Monroe and Associates show where they tear them down, they do use a self-extinguishing foam to insulate the batteries. Now, I don't believe this will prevent thermal runaway, but it could help contain it. And I'm not sure what the cost of this is, but I was bummed to see that Tesla does not do this. Overall, the battery core efficiency for Rivian vehicles are very poor. And the vehicles, they may not look it, but are quite heavy. For them to obtain 300 to 400 miles, they need 70% more cells than a Tesla. For battery efficiency, Tesla is the benchmark. As I'm recording this, Rivian is currently making vehicles at an unprofitable level. Tesla can make 2 to 3 vehicles profitable for every one that Rivian makes unprofitable. And I will talk about more about that later. As I stated earlier, it was very sad to read that Rivian will be outsourcing their battery manufacturing entirely. This is a huge problem. The biggest cost of any electric vehicle is the battery. Having third parties make all of your batteries is not a long-term strategy. Being vertically integrated is. This will make it hard for Rivian to significantly reduce the cost of their vehicles in the years to come. And they have displayed the push for their new 4695 cell. But what are the materials? What are the specs? And where are they made? There's a lot of unanswered questions. And again, the battery is the bottleneck for any EV company. In a cell-constrained world, the efficiency of a battery pack is paramount. You cannot scale if you are being wasteful. Now, on to technology. Now, what Rivian does provide is the Rivian Driver Plus, and it is advertised to be on par with Tesla's Autopilot. It is not on par with Tesla Autopilot. Tesla Autopilot can be used literally anywhere, and full self-driving even more so. And I can say from watching enough videos on Rivian Driver Plus, it is very sensitive and cannot be used anywhere. It's really only decent on highway use. And it's very clear there needs to be a clear distance before you can even engage the system. I have yet to see any automatic lane changes. Autopilot is very adaptable and, like I said, can be used almost anywhere. So I ask, how much driving data does Rivian have? I can't imagine it's much since their fleet is small. Tesla generates over 50 million miles per day and billions of miles per year. These miles train the networks in an effort to make full self-driving a reality. Rivian seems to have no plans to develop their own full self-driving equivalent. And this program, Driver Assistant Plus, is standard on all Rivians. But again, I would expect this kind of technology on an electric vehicle. Now onto leadership and financial overview. The CEO, RJ Scaringe, owns about 4.5 million shares of Rivian, which equates to about 1.5% of the company. And he has about 9.5% voting power. Additionally, he has complete voting power over the board decisions due to his 100% ownership of the company's Class B shares. But Amazon is the largest shareholder at 17% of the company. Now, RJ appears to have good intentions, and he is all about electrification and only offering those type of products. But the stock is down 92% from the IPO. They can't issue shares and dilute the company any further. They're in a really tough spot. One thing I do believe in a CEO is that they need to be a founder or have a founder-led mentality, and RJ Scaringe fits that mold. He is a founder, but his equity position in Rivian is quite low. But it is nice to see that they have a CEO who is a dedicated founder and has kept with his founder mentality. But there are some positives. Every quarter, their total vehicle production has increased, and that's wonderful. And the revenues have increased year over year as well. Tesla, for example, is much better to look at from production of vehicles, not deliveries, because Tesla sells every vehicle they make. As of this podcast episode, I can't say that for sure with Rivian. But they are burning a lot of cash, between $1.2 and $1.5 billion per quarter. At the rate they are going, they will be out of cash in 6 to 8 quarters. And they're also increasing their debt, which has been slowly climbing since the fourth quarter of 2021. They do, as of March 24th, have about $9 to $10 billion in cash. But they slowly are improving their net income, but overall, as of last quarter, they're also losing $43,000 per vehicle. That makes a Rivian cost about $130,000 to build. And all this takes place in their Normal, Illinois manufacturing facility, and it's expanding massively. And this is also a reflection of cash flow issues. Can they keep up with their massive expansion? They did just announce that their Georgia plant was going to come online this year, but since the R2 and R3 rollout, this factory has been put on hold. And it seems unlikely they'll be able to scale all of these goals in one facility in central Illinois. So now we're to the conclusion. And to me, Rivian feels like they could get to where Tesla was during the Model 3 ramp as the best case scenario. Now, a little history. In July of 2017 is when the Model 3 came out. Tesla was then a $56 billion market cap. And Rivian offers compelling truck, SUV, and now mid SUVs that are coming. And these new vehicles of Rivian, again, look very compelling. But there are little specs about them, the batteries. They tout their 4695 cell, but what does it comprise of? Rivian did announce that they won't be making these cells. How will they contain their cost if they aren't vertically integrated? They have no real charging. they really don't have much battery tech. No solar, no artificial intelligence, no robotics, etc. As I started making this episode, Rivian was trading at about a $10.5 billion market cap. If Rivian can reach a $56 billion market cap, that represents a 5.3x from where they are right now, which puts the stock at about $58 to $60 a share. That is where I think they could make it to in the best case scenario. And let me state, if it gets there, it will be a very bumpy and volatile ride that most people will not have the stomach for. Maybe this is more of an option play, you know, a leverage, a position, than to buy long and hold. If they don't turn things around quickly, then they'll be bankrupt in less than 2 years anyway. And it seems the R2 will come out right around that same point, and it's cutting it very close. The R2 and R3 could be the make or break moment for Rivian. But don't get me wrong, they make a beautiful and compelling truck and SUV, and I'm excited to see the R2. Everything about what they make seems very well built. Just watch any Sandy Monroe teardown of a Rivian. It is a well-built American machine by an American company, and I'd rather see them succeed than any Chinese EV company. But in conclusion, my thought is no for going long on Rivian. At least until things show a turn of events, I just can't see them more than just an electric vehicle company. I don't see the R2 as being a savior. They can't make money on the cars they have. Tesla made money on the Model S before they ramped up the Model 3. But Rivian hasn't done that. They're losing money on their flagship vehicles. And it seems to stand out as an EV company, you will need more than just a compelling car. You need other aspects. Now, there might be some opportunities in swing trading or the options world, but to go long just doesn't seem to make sense, at least right now. Again, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a like button and rate it as 5 stars because it does help the channel. And always feel free to email me at lifeisn'tlinearpodcast@gmail.com if there's something you have to say or feedback you want to provide. It's always welcomed and read. And as always, be respectful and make good decisions.